Welcome to the Fabric Podcast, where we're talking about togethering. Trying to create deep, meaningful community around some of the deepest parts of life, and our particular lives, is what we've been trying to do since we got started. In this episode, Melissa Locke pokes at the necessary ingredient of togethering, of being there.
Hey friends, it's been a minute, and I'm back from a long road trip with my kids. Went to see my sisters, one in East Texas and the other in Illinois, just on the other side of the Mississippi across from St. Louis. It was a beautiful trip, good to be with family, you know, good and bad, kind of like all of life. And I think I just want to share this piece as I'm processing some of the experiences I had. Yeah, I'm just going to share it, and I think the story will be in the words. Loosen this Bible belt, MCs spitting hate through their prayers. The freedom of religion was not so we could choose which Christian denomination best fit our need for staying the same. Rodeo clown. When I pack heat, I'm righteous, but when them boys in Chicago do it, they're criminals, animals. I don't want a bitch. I just want some classic Americana without all the bullshit. Half moon shining over the bucking bowl, a rainbow of colors and shaved ice, music that makes you want to dance. Patriotism is only worth it when the flag waves for freedom, and when we use that freedom to love the land and love one another. Perfect love, free from fear, free from hate, free from the chosen ignorance that replaced the innocence of childhood. A few days later, we stood by the Gateway Arch. Free. Unlike Dred and Harriet Scott, slaves were sold across from the Starbucks, built on the riverbank that was used to transport smallpox blankets and every white pine that ever grew in my home on the river, Mississippi, Minnesota, Dakota, Anishinaabe, white-tailed deer, elk, and bison, walleye, clean water, living water. Rolled home, rolling hills, in a tailwind that gave us the best mileage we wish we didn't have to ask for. Ankle-high corn mothers, wanting the same thing, wanting to get back to here and now without all that bullshit. Without all the toxicity and codependency. Dad says honesty is the best policy. Honestly, we're going to have to get honest about how fragile these peaches are. We're going to have to hold ourselves with care. Because when we're separated from our roots, we bruise so easily. And we've been gone so long. Homecoming. Homecoming. Ancestors light the way. Lightning bugs and the moon now full. It's really gonna be quite the party. But we gotta do the work. We gotta make ready. We gotta dare to heal. Pulling into the hometown. Gonna work to make it home now. We're coming home now.
I don't know what you heard in Mike's poem and Mike's processing. Maybe the swear words. Sometimes we need those. Use them sparingly so that they have some value when we need them, right? There's a lot in there, and I hope it made you a little uncomfortable. it did me. For me, it felt somewhat refreshingly honest. It felt like there's a lot for me to learn. When I asked our friend Mike if I could share this, he just sent it out the other day. He said, sure. And he was already working on part two, where he called himself out for all the scapegoating he did of the people that he was talking about and scapegoating, right? So he was scapegoating people for scapegoating, right? He's processing. He's paying attention. He's not settling for any version of together that dehumanizes anyone, that leaves anyone behind. So good morning. Here we are. I'm Melissa. Hello, live streamers. Hello, podcast listeners later. We're here. We're talking about that. We're talking about the healing power, the gift of togethering. And when we met with like the team of folks to start, you know, just wondering about how's this conversation going to work and how's it going to go, we talked about this series and this coming up, the art of togethering that we'll get to be part of at the Falls in July. And one of the questions that one of the team members, Andrew, wrote on there, the wonderings, was, do we really want to be together? Yeah, what a good, honest question, right? I mean, frankly, being together is messy. This is on your Sunday paper. I am not afraid to say it, right? So write this down. It's messy, it's inconvenient, and it's full of uncertainty. And that is exactly why it matters. That is its strength. All that stuff. So that's why we're talking about it. That's why the U.S. Surgeon General did years of deep research and story gathering and has written a book called Together. So we've been using his prescription as a physician, as an observer, as an intellectual. He gave us four basic ideas, and we riffed on those because they fit with what Fabric is all about. And so just to review, we had a first week, togethering takes time alone. So we had these little mirrors, and we look at ourselves, and then remember how important time with yourself is. But then if you're looking at yourself too long, you kind of turn the mirror, and what would I see in there? Others, other people. So we turned to 2 weeks where Greg led us through this, talking about M&M, our ministry within and our missions beyond this community that we practice together and support each other in. And so then we also sent Greg off and came back to that pause, like always along the way, there's these pauses. And we got some pause button tattoos last week. It was a great send-off. So there's more of those if you didn't get one. And this week, be there. Be there. So, you know, I love all this together talk. But when it really comes down to it, how I am with people on a regular daily basis is I kind of prefer them to be mess-free. I kind of prefer them to be convenient for me and to work on my schedule, right? And to, like, help me out with my plans and to be 100% reliable. I really do. The other thing I want and need is for those very same people to let me be a mess, right? And to let me not be reliable, to let me interrupt their plans so that I can talk something through or work something out or get some help that I need. So that takes, you know, some tightrope walking, right? So I need the understanding and the patience and the forgiveness that's so hard for me to actually give back, right? So, being alive together, that's what it involves, and that's why we have to talk about it. So we're getting at, I think, one of those counterintuitive truths, those things we try to wrestle with over and over here in different packages as Fabric. And it makes this deep down sense that being together in these deeply woven ways for which we are made, the way it really just works, seems to work at least, it makes room for the mess and struggle. More than just making room for the mess and struggle, I think life, it actually embraces the mess, the uncertainty, the struggle, the interruptions. That full acceptance and that embrace of the mess of us together is exactly what makes our deep togetherness such a priceless gift. And it's how it works. We are made for it. So even when it feels demanding, there are going to be times when it's not that hard. It's actually not that hard. Yet, loneliness is quite a problem, and Murthy really unpacks that well in here. I recommend this if you're interested in this. And this is a unique inflection point from his observing. He describes it pretty clearly as we're just more online. We're more on the move as people on this planet, and we're more on edge, and there's more of us on Earth, and they're older. Like, all of those things contribute to higher levels of loneliness and disconnection. They're not all bad things, but they do have a power to easily pull us apart from each other or push us away from each other. If anything can help us realize the gifts of togetherness while being open-eyed about the challenges, I think it's people like us doing a thing like Fabric. Last week, we sent Greg Meyer off, who started this journey of discovery that we are on together. And they are on sabbatical, Greg and his partner, Chris. And I don't think it's an accident that before Greg left, he spent those 2 weeks kind of reminding us with this, what is this church thing that we're trying to do? Because it's not about him. It's not about me. It's not about any one of us. And again, these are words that we say, and we won't say it the same all the time. Here's how Greg said it, and I would love if you find your words on this journey, right? We all find our own words. But this is a good grounding together. It's a community of people who see themselves as part of a movement across time and geography, committing to weaving the three strands of others, of ourselves, and God, that shorthand that we use to describe the unnameable power, the mystery of this life. People who are committed to weaving those strands in life-giving ways. So as Fabric, this is the kind of community, the kind of movement that we aspire to be, that we've spent, you know, so far 16 years trying to learn how to be, and that we will continue to learn how to be. So it's not, you know, a certain belief, it's not a building, it's not any certain, you know, statements or creeds. It's us together. We are what make Fabric strong and resilient and valuable to one another. So weaving those three strands of life in these life-giving ways, not these sanitary, convenient ways. Last I checked, like life, in the, you know, think of babies, think of growing things outside. It's messy. There's stuff. And it's wonderful. And it's wonderful. All right, so we're all here. Maybe you're live streaming on the podcast. Why? Why? Take a second in your mind and just kind of answer, what is it that I get from being part of Fabric? What is a gift that that I get kind of filled up with? You know, why do I show up here? If you're visiting, maybe, what is something, or if you're just checking Fabric out, what is something you hope for? Maybe it's seeing some smiling faces. Maybe it's a new perspective. Can I ask for some kids who are here? I would love for you to use your markers and even think about for you, what is something that you like that Fabric has given you? There's Gaga Ball, there's games, there's fun, there's camp, there's getting to help. So now I'm trying to prime your pumps, but I'd love for you to just shout out some things. Let's help collect some ideas. Dancing, music, camp. Someone said weekly anchor, a weekly anchor, like a pause. What else? Connection. Help. Help me here right now, too. What did you say? People. Tools. Wonder. Contemplation. Friends. Thank you. There's a lot, and it changes for us over time. You have a cup under your chair, and inside it, you'll find a sticker.
And now at this point, Melissa, with some help from our resident master of fun, Heidi Esposito, used plastic cups to help us visualize how being part of a community like Fabric fills us up. And that's when it got interesting. Heidi had rigged up rubber bands with threads attached in every direction, where groups had to work together to grab the base of those cups and stack them in a pyramid. The cups were stacked upside down, which in itself was a good reminder that what gets poured into us in community keeps flowing, that we get to pour it into others.
See if you can work together and build a pyramid by using the rubber bands and the string.
Okay, you can go back to your seats. You can notice and appreciate your pyramid that you built before you walk away. Good job, everybody. That was kind of fun to listen to. I saw some people taking videos and pictures. Good. So that's a really pretty decent picture, thanks, Heidi, of what it looks like to be together. It took, I saw a lot of concentration. And any other just real quick words that you noticed that you had to do to make that work? Communication. You had to pay attention. And teamwork. And stay focused on the cup. Yeah, exactly. We got this. Okay, so be flexible and creative and, like, be present to the new needs of the change. Yep. Ooh, there's a lot in there, a lot of juice we could talk about. And you built something. You brought together a whole bunch of gifts that different people appreciated. And you couldn't have built that by yourself, right? And now the gifts that you were getting, are they kind of pouring out and coming together and you're getting new gifts, other gifts that you didn't think about? So I heard a lot of focus, concentration, attention, and that is really central to being there. Mary Oliver said attention is the beginning of devotion. And there is this devotion, right? When we share our attention with each other, the eyeball-to-eyeball moments. And then in how we respond to each other, the give and take, the gifts that start to pour in and out. So defining being there, what the heck does it mean? I think it means choosing. You have to choose to bring your whole self. This is really important. No more, no less. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. So that's from some really old words in the Bible, Deuteronomy. And it makes sense. You bring all of what you care about, your heart. You bring your soul, your true self, that part of you that includes the image of God in you, the divine, the fabric of existence, how you understand that. And your mind, your attention, your focus, and your strength, too, your might. Not other people's, but yours, your strength, your heart, your mind, your whole self, no more and no less. So also in your Sunday paper, you can see this set of words that we've talked about often from the account of Jesus' life that Matthew wrote. And this couple sentences on your Sunday paper is Jesus remembering some really old words that had been passed down to him from generation to generation. When someone asked him, what's the most important thing for me to do? What's the most important commandment to follow? And you can read it there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And the greatest is like it. or the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when you sink in, you realize this command, this so-called rule, is really about relationships. It's a call to love, to connect deeply with all three of these strands. All three of these strands. So, right after that part in here, I've been recommending, or Greg said he's reading Matthew right away when he left, and so I've been joining in that journey, and I recommend that if you want to dive into a refresher on who Jesus was, what it was all about, it's really interesting that right after that rule that he gave, he's talking to the religious people who had a lot of power and felt very important and acted like it. And he reminded them, he said, do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to be yourself humbly, notice it's not in a humiliated way, in a shrinking way. If you're content to be yourself, your life will count for plenty. So we all have those moments where we try to control what other people do, right? Where we feel kind of self-important. I think that's in all of us, if we're honest. We kind of step out and know it all ourselves, be apart from. Choosing to bring your whole self means joining in to be part of the mess, okay? As your whole self, I think Brené Brown says, don't puff up, don't shrink, stand your holy ground. Let it become part of the mess, part of the lifiness of life, part of the peopliness of people. And so when we're there, we're also asked to not just be there on our own terms, apart from, but with others on their terms. So the fancy word for this, that whole like book of Matthew, it begins and ends with this one idea of withness. A fancy word is incarnation, but it's being there in the flesh, showing up. The fact that that book starts with all the descendants of Jesus and then comes down to Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, and then it ends by Jesus saying, I will be with you always, really is what having those parentheses there meant a lot to the writers. And it meant this is what this is about, this withness. And Jesus said, I am with you always while you are with one another. So it is our turn to be with each other in that way. And it has always been our turn. And Jesus, and not just this story, but life itself reminds us that we're not doing that all by ourselves. So to get tangible, I think, you know, what does this look like? I did a carpool this year with middle schoolers. Friday was my day to drive the kids to school. And I noticed sometimes I would get there and drop them off, and we had never looked at each other in the eyeballs. Like, I had never seen their eyes, and they had never looked at me. And I thought, oh, that doesn't feel good. And so I started asking them before they got out. I was like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can we just look at each other before you get out of the car? And so we started. I forced them to look at me. I don't think they minded too much, but I don't know if that was on the middle schoolers' terms or not, right? So I kind of had to back up and say, you know, what is their turf? Like, how can I be present with them? And sometimes it was just being quiet and being with them and listening to their banter. Okay, so this all can sound kind of big, but it can be as simple as eye contact. It can be as simple as a smile. The prophet Muhammad actually named that as an act of charity for all followers of Islam. Smile. And we can all do that, so let's take a quick chance to just look at each other, get some air, and smile at someone. Look around, exchange a smile. I can see you're smiling through your masks with your eyes. Gosh, I forgot about the masks when I was thinking about that. So maybe that felt kind of forced, and it might be kind of like the carpool, but it's something that a way that we can be present with each other that really matters. I've had people smile at me, and it can change the course of a day. There's a great Ally McBeal episode we're going to share has smile therapy going on. The guy, like, trying to be present with a fake smile like this. And it's just, I'm going to share it because I think it's a great picture at the end of what weaving life deeply can actually look and feel like with this joy, moving from this kind of forced attempts at togetherness to this joy that we can feel. So the next part of this that I just want to remind us of is the power is, oh yeah, so, okay. In the world, we're always doing, we're always going. I'm trying to, I'm always doing and going and getting present. Again, thank you for your grace. In this world of doing and going, don't underestimate your presence. Don't underestimate your presence, the power of that. So your general presence, just as one more person, matters. I think this would be more fun if we had more of us here. And we don't, and that's okay for today. So not just as one more person, though, as your particularity person. So we need people, but we also need particular people. And we need you, and we need me. And that presence matters for those other people, but also for you. My friend Kelly, who's part of Fabric, always told this story about when she was making these birthday cakes for her kids. And one time when she was working on a really fancy lion cake for the birthday of her little guy, Ben. And she said, my mom always made these amazing birthday cakes for us when I was growing up. We all loved them. It was always fun to see what she came up with. So, of course, I wanted to keep up the tradition. I always let my kids choose. Ben chose a lion, and I was so busy. She was so busy working on the fancy cake, and Ben kept trying to bother her while she was making the cake. And he said, Mom, what are you doing? What are you doing? She said, Ben, I'm working on your cake. You know, be careful. Don't touch it. And he's like, oh, fun. Birthdays are fun. Can I help? And so she needed that reminder, right? He gave her a gift of presents. And they worked on the cake together, and she's still telling the story today. So don't underestimate the power of your presence. And to go along with that, don't underestimate the impact of your absence. I always practice when I get in the car putting on my imaginary driving hat. Be present for driving. And I got that from Chris when he was driving us somewhere. He actually puts on a real hat to remind himself. I got to be here. This matters. If I lose my presence and I am absent while I'm driving, that can be bad. Like, it really matters. What about here? What's the impact of your absence with Fabric? Yeah, that's felt. Not only when you miss the energy of having more people, but also certain people, right? I can still picture Steve, who is not with us, walking in that door with his generous and kind smile. And some of you never got to meet Steve. Some of you never might have met Anne, who would always be counted on to be nearby with a baby, cuddling a baby, or listening so intently to someone. We're lessened without each other. The connections that become possible when you and I and you and you and you and you and a lot of people who aren't here today and aren't even here yet, when we are missing, Fabric is not yet complete. So one point that brings us to this last point is that we can't underestimate or try to wriggle out of this reality that you can only be in one place at a time, right? So we have to choose. And we have a lot of things that choose for us in the world. Right? We have other people that we do need to listen to, but we also have ourselves to tune into. We have lots of things pulling on our attention. So how will you choose is the question. What help do we have to get some inner wisdom, some guidance to make those choices? Because you can't be everywhere. You're going to miss things when you're not. People are going to miss you. And we have to choose, so it's hard. Kids, have you been decorating some little pieces of paper strips on your table over there? Yeah, how many sides does your strip have? Two. Yeah, okay. So we have a big one of those up here that Karen and Av have been working on. And I want to, can you hold this up? Just come out here so people can see it. They've been collecting the gifts and the things they've been hearing from you of our being together on one side of this. Do we have, and there's some tape. Oh, good. So kids, you can watch what we do with this one, and I want you to take yours and do the same thing. This is really fun. Wow. I love it. We got to take a look at this. There's so much going on. Smiles and pauses and presents and hugs and community, and you guys were listening well to everyone. So what we're going to do is we're going to take all these things that we get filled up with and loop them together. Keep this on the inside here. But Av, do a half twist with this side, just a half of a twist, like this way. Yep. And now we're going to tape this loop together. It takes us all. Yep. All right. Thanks. Thanks, you guys. This is great. You can sit. Beautiful. So here's the gifts that we have. Kids, if you have your parents or if grown-up help you out if you need it, you can follow around. This is the gifts that we are given that come into us. And we follow it around and wait a minute. Now, how did that happen? I'm on the outside, right? So this is this mathematical curiosity called the Mobius strip. And because of the time, we're not going to watch another really cool video from Neil deGrasse Tyson. But I also recommend that. There's this math of this where this is the only one-sided, this is a one-sided figure. But it has two sides. The inside becomes the outside, becomes the inside, becomes the outside. And so this is kind of like this rhythm that we've been talking about with togethering, too. It starts with where we can start, inside. We embrace solitude. Then we find ourselves being able to step out and share our gifts with other people, to impact the world, to love the world. And that then feeds us back in. This is easier on a smaller one, but we're out and in and out and in. And that is really this sort of breathing dynamic way that our life woven deeply is going to feel for us. So remember how, like also Greg talked about, sacrifice. That's a big word we don't use very often, but being there, sharing your gifts, it does require sacrifice, giving up that perfect birthday cake, and then it's also fulfilling. The gifts of togethering are reciprocal, and they do that flowing in and out and in and out. And as we walk on that messy fabric of three strands, we find where can I show up. We get some guidance, and we don't do it perfectly, and we show up, and then we return to ourselves. We return to that enlarged solitude that God with us, God within us, and we move out and in. We give and we take together in this steady way. Together, we got this. So to get more tangible this week, one thing you can do is at the end of the day, step back and ask, how was I present today? Where do I want to be present tomorrow? It sounds simple, and it's such an important question that can make a difference for us. Thank you for your presence, everyone.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.